Anyways, what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Jesus is pursuing teaching us prayer. And as we in the world, wherever you are, and Christian or Muslim or Hindu, you are God's children. You are his creatures. And God is providing for all of us, those of us who are hungry and starving and famine, those of us who are in war and in danger, life and death situations, those of us who are just leading ordinary lives today. God has available for you such an abundance wherever you are. If you're walking on the garbage dumps of Nairobi or Calcutta, or if you're living in a palace, wherever you may be, look up. And God is teaching us through Jesus how to pray. And so I continue in this magnificent teaching that Jesus is giving to the whole world. Listen to Jesus as he's teaching us to pray. And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to put before him.' And he from within replies, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and locked. My children are in bed, and I am already in bed myself. I cannot get up to give anything to you.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he asks because of his persistence." Now, Jesus is talking about when I go to God, whatever you are, wherever you are, go to God and persist. Ask. Then he goes on, "And I tell you, ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Now, what is it? You're persisting, and you come with faith. This is so important in today's teaching. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? What is the relationship of God with you? It's even greater than any of you fathers would have with your children. Then he goes on to say, "You, wicked as you are, what father among you, wicked as you are, would do this? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Not only is God going to give you what you ask, what is it that you desire? You know, this farmer came, and he, first of all, let me emphasize that teaching on faith. This farmer had a drought in a place in Texas, and they were all showing up, and they needed rain from God, or their crops were all dying, and they had come to gather in prayer. They asked this preacher to come, and he read some passage from Scripture about faith in God, whom we're going to ask for rain. Now, can God give us rain? Whatever you ask, God will give. But even before he began preaching, he said to them, "Y'all came to pray for rain, and none of you brought your umbrellas. What kind of faith do you have? God, can you give us rain?" "Yes, God can give us rain. What is the proof of it? I expect that I'm going to receive it." How important it is that when we come to God, we have an expectation that he's going to give us. What you ask for, you're going to receive. You're going to receive what you ask for. Some of the things will be life and death. Just a few days ago, I was in the hospital, and we had gone to see this friend of ours. And there was her husband, her children. Her sister was there, and I was with them. And there was friends there. And we were waiting for the operation to be over. It was really life and death. She's an 80-year-old woman, and she was just so sick with this, her heart valve. And it was not pumping blood into her lung, and she needed this operation for life. And as the operation concluded, we were allowed to go into the room. She had made it through the operation. As we were there, the nurse met us. She said she's still hemorrhaging. And if she continues to hemorrhage and I can't stop it, or we can't stop it, she's going to have to go back up and be opened up again. Well, that probably would have been death for her. So I prayed, and I had the power of grace and the sacrament of the sick. And I asked the family to pray over her. And as I was about to anoint her, I called on God and asked God to heal her, to bless her, to strengthen her. The discernment of what? Life and death. If you want her to live, God, if that be your desire, Lord, you are the Word made flesh. Lord, you have all power in heaven and on earth. You made her, you can remake her. You made her with the Word, you can heal her with the Word. You made every part of her. You can bless her now, and you can recreate her. And with the prayer, I then anointed her with the laying on of hands and the anointing on the forehead and her hands. And the bleeding stopped. The bleeding stopped. Not too long after that, she opened up her eyes and was recognizing the people in the room. To pray with expectation. There is such a power to prayer that's done with faith. Is there anything too insignificant to pray for? Almost every night that I go to sleep, I ask my angel to wake me up. Every morning, my angel wakens me. Every morning. You say, why don't you use an alarm clock? Well, sometimes I'm in a place where there is no alarm clock. And beside that, I have this faith. Sometimes your alarm clock fails. My angel has never failed to wake me up. Is there anything too insignificant? Ask for whatever you want. Ask. There was this couple, and they were at their marriage, and the wine was running out. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, notices it. Is there anything so, and maybe it made it appear insignificant to others, but the embarrassment to have your wine run out at your wedding party? And what did Jesus do? Whatever he does, do whatever he tells you. Jesus changed water into wine for them at the wedding feast of Cana. There's nothing so small. It isn't life and death. They wouldn't have died if they didn't have wine. But because of prayer, because of trust, Mary's request, Jesus' power, whatever you ask, ask with faith and ask with persistence. I had a friend, his name was Father Markowski, and I just loved him dearly. He's dead now a few years. But one time when he was asking me, he said, John, I want this from the Lord. And I said, well, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to pray. There's the lives, the butler's lives of the saints. There are four volumes, and from A to Z, there must be thousands of the saints. What he did was go from every saint, and he asked every saint from book A, book to the second book. I think there were four volumes, third book, fourth book. He asked every single one of those saints to pray for what he wanted from God. He was a persistent prayer. When Jesus said, if you don't get what you want, persist. And he wasn't getting what he was asking for from God. And he was that kind of person. But he was that kind of prayer. I have a friend of mine that I call when I really want to be backed by prayer. I know. Do you ever have some people, you say to them, say a prayer for me. And they may or they may not. But this friend of mine really prays for me. She really does. And when the rosaries come and the prayers start, she's constantly begging God for what it is that is my intention or my request. What a great thing to have in your life. Someone who is persistently knocking at the door. I remember Father Markowski telling me, I said, did you get what you want? He said, oh, yeah. He said, can you imagine some 7th century saint that hasn't asked God for a thing in 1,300 years saying, this is the first time someone ever asked me to petition you. Can you imagine all those saints, he said, going to our Lord and say, give him what he wants. Get him off our back. And that's kind of how he prayed, knocking. Knock. And you shall receive, seek, and you will find. It will be open to you. And this is the kind of persistence in our prayer. God is abundant. If you don't first receive what you want, I have a beautiful niece. I love her dearly, a grandniece. She has always wanted to be married and to be a wife and a mother. She wants her family. That's a calling. And I've been praying for her. And not too long ago, she said, you know, I really think I'm ready for this vocation. But God told me in prayer, maybe he isn't. And recently, she just called me on the phone, persisting. And I prayed with her that she would find a good husband. And she's going to be married in May. What a delightful call. All my life, I've been looking for this and praying and desiring. Is there someone who has a calling to marriage and it just hasn't quite worked out for you? Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Yesterday, a woman came and she was very, very horribly, terribly. They brought her because they really felt that she was almost possessed. But she is so consumed with hatred. Her ex-spouse has left her. Her ex-spouse, the father of her children, has divorced her and has found another woman. I hate him. He doesn't deserve to be happy. I just hate everybody. She was coming. What did she need? You know, when her sister was with her, she needed forgiveness. Hatred, revenge, anger was consuming her, destroying her. Seek, knock, ask. It was so powerful, so beautiful to see her transform from this ugly, hateful, revengeful woman consumed with hatred. That the ex-spouse of hers probably was having a very good time, but she was in hell, consumed with this hatred. She needed grace and forgiveness. What do you pray for? How do you pray? My brother is a great prayer. No matter where he goes, he talks to me about it. He's a businessman. Or you, wherever you might be, you might whatever you do need. What do you need? He's very wealthy also. No matter where he travels, whether he's in China, Russia, or any part of the world, he goes to daily mass. That's his prayer. Every day he prays the rosary. George, what do you pray for? Primarily, his first prayer is for the salvation of his soul and his wife's soul and his children's souls and his grandchildren's souls and his great-grandchildren. And he talks about how he loves them. But the greatest love he can have for them is not for the good things they will have here, but we are going to be spending eternity with God. And the greatest gift that God can give each of my family and members is eternal life, the salvation of their souls. Can you imagine what it must be like to be in heaven if that's your goal and you find that your husband isn't there because he's in hell? Or can you imagine what it's like if you're there and your son isn't in heaven? How do you enjoy eternity when you look at the mansion that Jesus had made for him and it's empty and he is in hell? The salvation of souls is a tremendous request. The good things that you can gain for them in this world, a house, a car, a job. One of the things that the Holy Spirit has given us when Jesus says, I will give you the Holy Spirit. I will give you the power to discern what you're going to ask for. It's an everyday thing. Prayer is always around you. What do you want from God? To discern, I will give you. Ask and you will receive, and I will send the Holy Spirit. My Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. What is that Spirit? It's the Spirit to ask God the Father for what it is that is good for me and for my family, and for those I love. That is the power to discern what is good. I was at dinner last night in this home, and we were having dinner, and this family has been discerning for months. One of my spiritual directees, he can relocate in Florida, he can relocate in Minnesota, or he can stay where he is. Discernment. What is God want me to do? What am I going to ask for? Weeks of prayer, guidance, discernment. Where should I go? What is here? What is the benefits? What is the things that are deficits? How should I decide? Discerning, asking the Holy Spirit, and finally being led to relocate in Florida. And all of the questions, not to remain here, not to go to this other place, but what do I ask for? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helping them to decide. So they, as they go, they're asking God, what is ahead of them? He knows. What did they ask for? What God wanted and was guiding them to ask for. What will their future be? God's children giving them that fish, giving them that egg, giving them the Holy Spirit. God knows what's best for his children, and so he's guiding them to the place he wants them to go, and they eventually, in every move they've made, when they came to our community 10 years ago, he's a doctor, and he came from another place, and he's going to another place, and still has these years of service to give the sick and the suffering the expertise of his gifts. In 1955, in our family, I was finally revealed that my sister was actually had a disease of Hodgkin's disease, and she was very close to dying. In fact, within a couple weeks, she would be dead. And when my mother discovered that, she just was grief-stricken in pain. Her daughter, that's sick. I'll always remember this. And I remember what her request was, that my sister Mayanne get well. She begged our Lord, and my mother was a very famous prayer. When she asked God, she really did with her whole heart. She was a prayer. She had received many graces for our family in her prayer. She began her prayer on her knees outside of our house, blocks and blocks away from our parish, and crawled on her knees to the church with knees bleeding and her head facing the Lord. She arrived at the church. Give my daughter a cure. Begging God, praying God. My sister, in the meantime, I remember her saying to my mother in the hospital, "Mom, you're praying that I stay here and live. I'm really praying that I go home to God." It really is my time, I believe. Here is a mother praying that her daughter live. Here is a daughter praying that she go home to God. What is most important? What God wants. And so eventually, as my sister and my mother began to talk and pray together, a beautiful day, on the 29th of June, my mother, overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, prayed from her heart and gave her into the lap of Mary. And I remember as the Angelus rang, her prayers were answered. And I was never closer to the spirit world as I was next to my sister in the hospital. And I could almost take her soul and lift her to God. What we pray for is always discerned by God's will. And who helps us discern that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts to guide us and direct us in what we ask for, how we ask, in faith, in persistence, in perseverance, and its fruit will be peace. What is it in this world to receive God's grace? And is it life? You know, if that lady would have died, I'm sure all of those at that hospital bed that I prayed would be at peace. What they were eagerly begging for was her life. So we prayed for her life, and God gave it. To all who are listening, the rules of prayer, to pray with persistence, to pray with faith, and to pray with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will give you the strength to persist. The Holy Spirit will give you the faith to believe that what you are asking for is the glory of God and will be for your peace, for the glory of God and for the peace of God's children. Wherever you are in the world, Jesus is teaching us to pray. Pray today and ask for, especially the Holy Spirit, to inspire you what to pray for, how to pray, and the persistence and faith with which to pray.
Monsignor, part of that discernment process of knowing what God's will is that if we feel something very passionately, that it is a desire, that we want to pray for him, would one of those markers for us be that if it is not virtuous, if for some reason in that passionate prayer, it's something that has the taint of anger or envy, or there's that maybe that is telling us, or fear even, in some ways, that maybe that our prayer, it needs to be discerned more about what is the Father's will. Am I making sense?
Yes. You know, if God would have heard the prayers of this woman, she would have asked that he get killed or die. This woman that was so unforgiving toward her husband, he doesn't deserve to be happy. He deserves to be miserable. And she was hating him. And out of that hatred, that's not prayer. That's cursing. That's not prayer. That's anger. And so prayer is God's love, God's movement in the world. And it's God bringing harmony, God bringing peace, God bringing love, God bringing joy. The evil one also has us feelings and thoughts and desires that are not of God. And those are, what are those? You know, the same mouth can bless and the same mouth can curse. So we have the power to pray, and we also have the power to go against. That's why the Holy Spirit, when Jesus says, when you ask and you seek and you knock, what is God going to give you? The Holy Spirit. Because that would be the Spirit who guides you and directs you in your faith and in the power of your prayer.
Wow. Final thought, Monsignor?
When you walk through a storm, keep your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. God is with you. Jesus says, God is near you. Your hand is where he is. He is with you. He wants to answer all your prayer. He is abundant. He is your Father. In your heart, the Holy Spirit is reaching out. You're never alone. God is teaching you to pray. In each of us, there is a power to reach out to God The Holy Spirit is in your heart, reaching out to your Father, because your heart is Jesus. He's the one who's teaching you how to pray. And there is a beautiful woman who did actually teach Jesus to pray when he was little. Lovely lady, dressed in blue, teach me how to pray. God, who is Jesus, was just a little boy, and you taught him the way. Mary can teach you also, and Jesus is in you to teach you how to pray. God bless.